So Satan started the challenge and said, Jesus, let's visit a wild party. So they went to a wild party, a lot of people, it was dark. And then Satan said, you see all those many people? They are mine. Satan left and went to a casino. That was my life before. And then hundreds of people just enjoying gambling over there. And then Satan told Jesus, you see those people over there? Those are mine. Jesus paused and said, let's leave this place and let's travel to California. So after a long time, you know, they passed Arrow Highway, Pomona. Since it was Sunday morning, Jesus said, told Satan, Satan, why don't we attend Charisma Life Church? You know, Satan said, okay, you know, I attend church also. So they attended Charisma Life Church. The worship started with intense worship. Charisma people, hands raised, passionate worship. The senior pastor ascended, began to preach. As the message progresses, Satan came closer to Jesus and whispered, see those people sleeping? Those are, you know, if you happen to be sleepy this morning and came from work, you know, and very tired yesterday, I salute you. Today I'll be talking about our battle with Satan. Folks, I have good news for all of you who came to church this morning. We can beat Satan. Say it with me like you mean it. We can beat Satan. But how? In today's message, I will reveal from God's word Satan's strategy in attacking us and God's solution to defeat him. Together, let's take a look at letter A, Satan's strategy exposed. I invite you to join me in doing an expose of Satan's strategy. The three strategies of Satan employ in attacking us. Number one, the tactic of distortion. He twists God's truth to serve his evil agenda. It's a matter of distortion. In fact, 1a, he attempted to distort the hierarchy of heaven as recorded in Isaiah 14, verses 12 to 15. The first recorded state coup was not from Gringo Hunasan of the Philippines. It was staged by Lucifer, the morning star. According to Isaiah 14, 12 to 15, it says, how have you fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of dawn? You have been cast down in the earth. You once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to the grave, to the depths of the pit. The hierarchy of heaven is clear. God is above all, including angels. However, Lucifer was not satisfied to be the leading angel of heaven only. He used his free choice to rebel against God. He said in the text four times, I will, I will, I will, I will. A blatant distortion of the hierarchy of heaven where God is supreme. As expected, Lucifer's coup failed. Consequently, he was thrown out of heaven and became what we now know to be Satan and the devil. He was so influential that one-third of heaven's angels joined him in his revolt and became fallen angels, his emissaries today. Satan and the devil are one and the same. Satan is a spiritual being whose name means enemy. His name, the devil, on the other hand, depicts his utter wickedness. This is where we got the expression, devilish. The preceding is the brief biblical account of the origin of Satan. The Bible is silent on the details of this mind-boggling mystery. Obviously, this episode was allowed by God where heaven was the setting. It was not repeated ever since, and it will not happen again. Lucifer, now Satan, did not stop his strategy of distortion even after his fall. B, he successfully distorted God's original command to Adam and Eve in Genesis 2:16 to 17 and Genesis 3:1. You know this story. I just read to you quickly. God's original command to the couple was clearly stated. It says, "And the Lord God said, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die.'" But look how Satan, disguised as serpent, twisted God's command in Genesis 3:1. "Now the serpent was craftier than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?'" That's not what the Bible said. That was not the command. He twisted it. Did you see how Satan twisted God's command? He is a master of distortion. But Satan didn't stop there. He attempted, let us see, to distort the order of worship with Jesus, as we see in Matthew 4, 9 to 11. Let's take a look at this interesting story. In verse 9, it says, "All this I give to you," Satan is speaking, "if you bow down and worship me." Verse 10, Jesus said to him, "Away, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Something is funny and interesting here. Did you notice? Satan reversed the order of worship. Can you imagine? He has the guts to tell Jesus, "Jesus, when I give this to you and accept the fame of the world, you know, come now and worship me." And Jesus, of course, rebuked him. And in verse 11, Satan left. The above mentioned example of Satan's tactic of distortion paved the way for the next distortion he used. And now, let's read our main text. I would encourage the congregation to please stand with me at this time. 1 Peter 5:6 to 11. "Humble yourselves under God's mighty hand, that he may exalt you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Your enemy, the devil," be self-controlled and alert. "Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Before I devour you, please be seated." We are now on letter D. If you notice, Satan has been continuing his tactic of distortion. In letter D, he attempted to distort God's purpose in the anxiety early Christians faced. If you saw the lion, that is to help you stay awake. In 1 Peter 5, 7, and 8, and chapter 4, 12 to 13, it is implied in verse 7 that the Jewish believers scattered throughout the Roman Empire as the recipients of this letter of the Apostle Peter were experiencing high level of anxiety or worry. And in verse 8, you have Satan, the roaring lion, attacking God's people. Guess how he attacked them? Satan, like a roaring lion, uses the strategy of distortion, twisting God's truth and good purpose so that he can meet his evil plan. Distortion happens in our mind, our belief to what happened, the experience we are going through or gone through. In the context of our text and the entire book of 1 Peter, Satan tried to present the anxiety and the trial of God's people that they are experiencing as an insinuation that something is wrong with them and their faith. That's why they are suffering. You find that in chapter 4, verses 12 to 13, and I read, "Don't be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering as though something is strange." That is the distortion of Satan. As though something strange were happening to you. The overall tone of Satan's tactic of distortion was to paint God in a bad light. That is not bad light, the beer. To his anxious people facing painful trials, causing them to question or doubt God's goodness, care, and good purpose for their lives. Distortion. Are you facing anxiety-producing trial in your life right now? Does your mind begin to entertain or doubt God's goodness and care in your life? Because you are going through tough times in your life right now, beware of Satan's distortion. From the strategy of distortion to number two, dispersion, the tactic of dispersion. He uses anxiety to sidetrack our attention from God and his goodness. 2a. Let's look at the cause of anxiety in 1 Peter 5, 7, and chapter 4, 12 to 13. God's people were highly anxious because of persecution. 1 Peter was written between 60 to 65 AD during your favorite emperor, Nero, to encourage the Jewish Christians who were experiencing severe persecution scattered throughout the Roman Empire. We can see that in 1 Peter chapter 1. This is the motive of our text. Most of these believers lost their homes, their properties, due to government's confiscation. Some face imprisonment, uprooted from their relatives in their homeland. This high anxiety in verse 7 is diagnosed on DSM, Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, as generalized anxiety disorder. People with generalized anxiety disorder experience intense anxiety or worry regarding different areas of life, like family, health, finances, work, crisis, and even your faith. The person is not able to control their worry or their anxiety, and normally it lasts for more days than not, and it lasts at least 6 months. Symptoms include difficulty sleeping, lack of concentration, irritability, muscle tension, and mind going blank. The safety and faith and health, livelihood, and family of persecuted people of God in our text were at stake. It is totally understandable why they were highly anxious in verse 7. That's why you read there, cast your anxiety on him. To be the use of anxiety as Satan's diversionary tactic in 1 Peter 5, 6 to 7. As expected, Satan exploited God's people's anxiety and used it to sidetrack them. Instead of focusing on God and their newfound faith, their new status as people of God and their hope they possess and the future reward in following Christ, Satan, the roaring lion, diverted their attention away from God to self, fear, self-pity. Legitimate concerns and anxiety were used by Satan as diversionary tactic. This is an effective strategy used by Satan that he used to attack us. Excessive worry that is counterproductive, that we become paralyzed, we don't want to pray, we don't want to read the Word of God, we don't want to attend life group, we don't want to go to church, we don't want to witness, we cannot function. That is Satan's strategy, diversionary tactic. At this time, I'm calling Rick Bezos to share his brief testimony. Let's give Rick a big, big hand.
Thank you, Pastor Abe. If somebody told me last year that I would be standing in front of a Christian congregation and speaking, I would have told you you were crazy. But the Lord works in wonderfully mysterious ways. It was also around this time last year when my life as I knew it fell apart. My world crumbled. I lost everything. Pastor Abe talks about anxiety. I want to make anxiety real for you. You know that feeling when you make a mistake at work and you know you have to face your boss and admit to your mistake? That's a little semblance of anxiety, but the problem is it lasts for 30 minutes and it comes back in waves every day and you don't know when it will end. That's anxiety. Pastor Abe was talking about 6 months. You never know when it's going to come and you never know when it's going to end. That's anxiety. The other feeling or the other similar feeling is it's like you're drowning, but you're on land. That's anxiety. I couldn't breathe. My nostrils would dry up. And what happens is you scramble. You grasp at anything because you couldn't breathe. Now, how the enemy distorts it is it plants worry, fear, in your brain, thinking that it's all your fault. And worse, it makes you think that you can fix it, that it's up to you, that you can actually control it when sometimes you can't. You really can't. Okay? Now, how did I battle it? How did I combat it? At first, like any intelligent, rational human being, I went to the doctor, I went to books, I looked online, I talked to all my friends. But in the end, I had to accept that my brain couldn't fix it. I just couldn't. I couldn't make heads or tails of it. It wasn't going away. Of course, it works to a certain degree. To a certain degree. But at some point, you realize you have to lean on something much bigger than you. And I had to lean on God. So I started going to church. It was around December of last year that I started going to Charisma, and I started attending Bible study with my life group, and then I started listening to Christian radio. I started reading the Word. But more importantly, it's what I did first. So I would prioritize God. I would start my week, like right now, by going to church first. I would start my day by praying first. And I would start my day before going to work by listening to Christian radio first. And that's how you combat it. Slowly but surely, in a few months, I was able to rebuild myself and block the anxiety. So I'm here right now in front of you, standing, sharing my testimony that that's how you do it. Now, I want to end with this. The most important part, or the most important component of battling anxiety is prayer. You know, we all think prayer is asking or requesting God for something. And then our second idea of prayer is praise and worship, right? But when you actually pray, when you actively, intently pray, it's almost like a meditation in your brain. And when you do that, you block the doubt.
Amen.
You block the negativity, and you block the fear that the enemy is trying to plant in your brain. There's no room for that to enter your brain when you're praying. When you're having a real conversation with God, or even if you repeat a verse over and over in your head, there's no way for the enemy to enter. And the one thing that the enemy hates more than anything is prayer. It's prayer. That's how you block the fear. That's how you block the anxiety.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rick. We have another charisma preacher over there. In our expose of Satan's strategy in attacking us, we have discovered his obsession in using the tactic of distortion, diversion, and tactic number 3, isolation. He separates his target from the source of support. Look at verse 8. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Someone to devour. Isolation is a military strategy used in war. U.S. used it in Syria and in wars where the generals and the tacticians try to isolate the enemy so that at the right moment they can control the enemy and beat them. B, isolation is a gaming strategy employed by lions in catching their prey. Lions are smart animals. When attacking their prey, they try to confuse them by chasing them in different directions. This creates confusion, eventually leaving one animal alone. They then turn their focus and attack this isolated victim. The rest is history, a gourmet breakfast. It is interesting to know that the devil is likened to a roaring lion who seeks to devour their isolated prey. Sometimes due to overwhelming problems, anxiety, life's demands, and other personal reasons, God's flock tend to isolate themselves from the rest of the flock in times of discouragement and problems and rigors of life where we need the support and fellowship of our church family the most. We then become vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy. As we see in our text, the roaring lion. So it is important to stay with the flock of God for encouragement, support, and protection. After exposing Satan's strategy, now I have the good news for today. God's solution disclosed. B1. Solution 1, perspective. Knowing God's view in the anxiety or trial we face. Perspective is God's solution to Satan's strategy of distortion mentioned earlier. So what will be our perspective when facing anxiety or trials? Remember, our trial, perspective A, is a test. 1 Peter 4:12 to 13. St. Peter gives the overwhelmed believers the right perspective. He wrote, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trials you are suffering, as though something strange is happening to you." And then the perspective. "But rejoice that you participate in the suffering of Christ, that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed." Anxiety-producing trials are allowed by God to help us become more mature and purified like gold. Not to hurt us, but to help us. Similarly, remember the purpose of the mind of the midterm and final exams and the papers that we need to write when we were in school or right now that we are in school. Another perspective is of trial. It is an opportunity to experience God's grace according to 1 Peter 5:10. It says, "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus after you have suffered." Stop it there. 1 Peter 1:6, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials." I want us to observe the phrase, "and the God of all grace" in verse 10, and the phrase, "all kinds of trials" in 1 Peter 1:6. The meaning of the word grace is not saving grace in this context. It's not salvation, but rather God's supernatural enabling he imparts when we face anxiety-producing trials in our lives. As we see in our text today, Satan has a lot of repertoire in attacking us. Different trials, different difficulty. But the good news this morning, brothers and sisters, is this. Every trial or anxiety that we face, God has a matching grace to match every trial we face. All trials, the God of all grace. See, it's temporary, but with eternal glory. 1 Peter 5:10, 11, chapter 4, 12 to 13. Look at the latter part of verse 10. "After you have suffered a little while." Verse 11, "Rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed." The word glory was mentioned at least four times in 1 Peter. It refers to the time when Christ comes again, the time when we will see Christ face to face in heaven and receive our reward after we have followed him here on earth despite persecution, anxiety, and trials. Perspective. From perspective, the next solution is be proactive. Watch and adjust your focus. Verse 5, it says, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." God's solution to Satan's strategy of diversion is to be proactive. Watch your focus. Be alert on the focus of your life. Remember, Satan uses diversionary tactic to sidetrack us. He wants us to get preoccupied with our anxiety, preoccupied with trials, the things of the fleeting world, and lose our sight of our relationship with God, the plan of God for our lives. And most of all, he wants us to lose sight of our eternal glory. He wants us to forget. He wants us to focus for today, forget eternity, and the second coming of Jesus Christ. The third, perspective, proactive. The third solution, be active. Partner with God and do our part in defeating Satan. Chapter 5, verses 7 to 11. The active steps we need to take to beat Satan in 1 Peter 5, 7 to 11, 3a, be under God's influence. Verse 8, be self-controlled and alert. In King James Version, the phrase be alert is translated be sober. This is where the police got the word sobriety or sobriety test. Folks, instead of being under the influence, let us be under God's influence so that we can beef the calf of the devil. 3b, do a spiritual fast break. It says in verse 7, cast your cares on God. Cares means to throw. Kyle, let me demonstrate quickly using basketball. Thank you, Kai. That is what casting means in verse 7. There are a lot of basketball passes. I used to play basketball. Pass break, it takes a lot of energy. The right position, it's long. Technically, pass break is at least 20 feet. Do you know why God wants us to do a fast break? Because after fast break, he doesn't want us to get the ball again. What do we do? Jesus! My anxiety, boom! But you just did And then after that, the word of God says, do a fast break! You cannot retrieve the ball. I just tried to retrieve it to keep it there, you know? Because God cares for you. I want you to observe with me. God did not scold or blame his highly anxious people in our text. God was not angry with them. He was not upset of their generalized anxiety disorder. On the contrary, God invited them, his people, to throw his anxiety on him because God cares for them, for you. Every week I read a lot of prayer request written in the connection card. And the staff pray for you and the annual request. Last week I read in the request, God, I am anxious. I'm afraid I will be having two big medical appointments in 2 weeks. Then question mark, Lord, do you know this? Casting all your cares on him. Cares for. The last act, the next active step, remember, get connected with God and with the pack, 9 to 11. As we review this Satan strategy, we are reminded of his tactics of isolation. Stephen Stolfer, a certified naturalist lion expert, gives Satan a tip in Lyons County. He said, advice, instruction number one, hike with others. He said, lions will less likely to attack a group. In verse 9, it says, you know that your brothers and sisters throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. The word know in verse 9 is translated remember in the living in the New Living Translation. In the context of our text, God, through the Apostle Peter, is saying to God's people and us, in the midst of your struggles, God's people, in your anxiety, persecution, longing for friendship, kinship, fellowship, I want you to get connected to me first. My word, my people, your fellow believers. Because your enemy, the devil, wants to isolate you from my flock so that he can devour you. Remember to connect to counter Satan's strategy of isolation. The last active step we need to take to overcome Satan, D, we need to take a stand and oppose Satan in Jesus' name. 1 Peter 5:9, it says, resist him, standing firm in your faith. Stephen Stolfer gives the following additional tips, you know, the lion expert, in saying safe in the lion's country, he added one. He said, he sounded like a pastor. He said, be alert. Application, be alert of Satan's distortion, strategy of distortion, strategy of isolation. Two, the expert says, when forced to face the lion, make noise. Wow, sounds biblical. Look tough. Look as though you will fight. Interesting. Tell Satan you are a roaring lion, footless, bluffing. The expert continues saying, when confronted by a lion, throw stones and other objects. Sounds biblical. What are the stones that we can throw to Satan? The word of God, Rick mentioned it a while ago. The word. Jesus said, it is written. It is written. It is written. Quote your favorite promise of God and hit him. And the expert says, hit him in the eyes. And then the last advice from the expert, make yourself look large like Shaquille O'Neal. Because greater is he that is in us than that is in the world. Tell this bluffing, roaring lion, Satan, when my Jesus Christ rose from the dead, the Lion of Judah, he conquered death. He conquered sin. He conquered you. 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 Satan's strategy have been exposed. God's solution disclosed. Fight his strategy of distortion. Know the good purpose of God in allowing trial and anxiety in our lives. Fight his strategy of diversion. Focus on God and his good plan for your life. Fight his strategy of isolation. Connect to God and the flock of God. When you do that, the word of God says, he will flee from you. Then you win the fight against Satan. And the last verse that I would like to read to you at this time, verse 11 and 12, it says, "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you, make you strong, firm, establish in your faith. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." Stand with me.